Hello. Wow. Let's start over. So anyway, we're here at church. Happy Mother's Day again. All right, so where are we here? Wednesday we're going to have regular service, but the next few Wednesdays are going to be in and out of town, so we'll play it by ear after this week. And then, looks like Michelle is back there. The Children's Church has some things for Mother's Day this morning. So, I'm going to let them come on in, you guys. Michelle, Children's Church. They have... All right, I'm going to pray for you guys. it in and out? It's in and out? I don't know. Well, I think I turned it off. Turn it back on. All right, what is next on the oh yeah, offering. Let's get a couple guys to come up here. I want to start saying if you got a phone, there's an offering right here. Just do it on here. Has it been that kind of week? This week's been that kind of year. All right, Craig, go ahead and pray for us.
Lord, we thank you for your many, many blessings, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here and start off by saying we love you, Lord. And thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you, Lord. God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather and celebrate Mother's Day, Lord. We thank you for our mothers, Lord. And God, pray that you would bless each and every one of them this morning, Lord. Give us something from your word.
Amen.
Refresh us this morning, Lord, as we go out the rest of this week, back to work, go out to the world. Lord, give us something from your word this morning to revive us and help us and bless us, Lord. We love you and thank you for all you've done.
Amen. All right. I don't have a particular verse this morning. We've got several places that we may or may not turn. But in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to talk about, I was going to say hell, but no, we're going to talk about mothers. And there's a lot said in the Bible. There's motherhood is a relationship that the Lord created, and trying to figure out, you know, just and reflecting on my mom, and then Mary Beth is a mom, and our family, and then the Bible and what the Lord has to say about mothers. And trying to think about a good theme for this, obviously motherhood, but is there something particular about motherhood that we could talk about? I don't know that necessarily this is going to follow any particular theme other than motherhood and what it is to be a mother. And I got to be honest with you, I always feel very inadequate trying to discuss stuff like this. As you know, just a husband and a dad, and I have a mother, I know a mother, I'm married to a mother, I have a mother as a mother-in-law, but as far as telling you what it's like to be a mother, I can only tell you from the outside looking in what it's like from the biblical perspective. And then, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about to be a mother. And then tie some of these relationship themes and qualities to Christianity, because there's a lot of similarity between these two. And so that's what we'll do. I would say if you want to open your Bible, if you just want to just open your Bible, it's Proverbs 14:1 is a place we're going to be at some point. But it's not the thing that we're going to talk about the whole time. So I want to just do a few reflections, and I'll read this verse to start us off. It just, I guess this is the habit, the way of doing it. But It says, every wise woman buildeth her house. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. The first part of that, every wise woman builds her house, we'll get to that as we go through this, but that's the general, I think, tenor of this whole, these thoughts put together. And so here's a few of them, and I'm just going to give you a few thoughts about motherhood from a dad's perspective, a pastor perspective, Bible perspective. To be a mother, first of all, is to be a vessel for life, or a vessel of life. You know, you carry around a life, and this is something that dads, you know, we just don't have any idea what this is like. And so it is unique, obviously, to motherhood to carry life. You know, I guess contrary to kind of what the culture may think, it's actually unique to motherhood to carry life around. To be a mother is to be a vessel for life. You know, your birth, all of us obviously have mothers. Your birth made your mother a mother, and it was a painful process. From what I understand, it is a near-death experience. It is sickness. It is agony. It is pain. I will tell you, I kind of had some when I forget which. Okay, when Ben was cooking, when Ben was cooking, when Mary Beth was pregnant with Ben, I was on a rig, and I remember speaking of the, you know, painful process and all this, I was on a rig, and it was in the morning, I woke up, and I was just throwing up, like, I don't know where it came from, I was just throwing up, and so I called Mary Beth, and I said, hey, are you sick this morning? Because I don't know, I just kind of thought, you know, maybe I'm sick and she's not. Sure enough, she said, you know, I feel fine today. I feel good. And I guess that's called, what is that? Sympathy pains or something like that? It's called a long night at the rig. And then don't eat that again. So, it just happened that night, but I remember that. It's a memory there. So there's sickness involved, agony, pain. And, you know, when you're born, apparently, a lot of that pain is forgotten. It's just not relevant anymore. Because now a child, a new life, this life is in the world now. And so to be a mother is to be a vessel for life, which sounds like a great thing. And it is a great thing, but it's also a very painful thing, apparently. It's also a very, it can be an agonizing thing. And so I thought about that in light of Christianity. So how in the world does morning sickness, what does that have to do with Christianity? Well, I think the two are closely related in this. To be a Christian means to carry around life. It means to carry around the life of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that can be painful. Sometimes that can be, it can be, you know, joyous. It is joyous. I notice also, and you moms relate to this more than I can, but when you're a mother or when you're pregnant, you have certain cravings. Sometimes I forget what was, there was like pickles, ice cream, ice, popsicles, and if you had a particular one, you can yell it out, whatever it was. But there's particular cravings with that. Your desires change. Your appetite changes. And I thought, well, that's kind of the way Christianity works. When you start carrying around the words of life, you notice your appetite kind of changes. And the things you want change. And they start to line up to feed the life that you're carrying around. And so that made a lot of sense. It just makes a lot of sense. You got new life. You got cravings you didn't have before. And as a Christian, you carry around the words of God. You carry around Jesus Christ in your heart, so to speak. And then that creates appetites. It creates desires. On the positive side, you know, creates some of those things. Honestly, sometimes it makes you sick. I will say things I've learned in the Bible and carrying around the words of God. Sometimes I learn something in the Bible and it makes me sick to my stomach. I remember like Ezekiel and John and some of those illustrations where they eat the roll or something like, and it's an illustration. They eat the roll, they eat the words of God, and it's sweet to his taste, and then it gets into his belly, and it's sickening. And that's relatable to me in this. When I learn something, it's not always just the, oh, wow, aha moment. It can be, but it's also the regret of things of how maybe badly I've treated people in the past and what a terrible person I was before, absent of this light. And so I'm reading the words of God sometimes, and you start getting, you know, I do. I know some of you guys do too, but you start getting a little bit teary-eyed because it's like, man, I'm just a horrible human being. And so it can be bitter. Just like being pregnant, it makes your stomach hurt, I'm sure. Makes you sick. Sometimes, but that's not the whole life. That's not the whole thing. That's part of it. So to be a mother, to be a vessel for life, is like being a Christian in a few ways. When the birth actually occurs, Jesus said it this way. It's in John, but he said essentially when a mom is in labor, she is obviously in pain, but when the son or the child is born, that pain is forgotten. It's not remembered anymore because of the joy that's there. I think about that with Christianity, the new life. There's pain associated with it sometimes, but there's joy, and the joy pales in, I mean, the past pales in comparison to the joy and the future and the hope and all of those things that are present in this new life. And so, you know, with those things said, I would, regarding childbirth, I read this thing. It said, may your Mother's Day be more pleasant than childbirth. I hope so. So to be a mother is to be a vessel for life. And there's a lot of similarities to Christianity in that. The second thing I thought about is to be a mother is to prioritize family relationships in a way that no one else does. And I don't want to overstate this, and I mean, I'll probably think about this a lot in the future going forward, and then maybe you guys can think through this too, but I don't think it's overstated to say that the most important thing this side of the resurrection is relationships. Almost everything that God says and everything he expects of people deals with your relationship to either God or to some other human being. Now, I don't mean that you have to be friends with every single human being on earth. But it is true that Jesus Christ said the whole law can be summed up in two relationships. You love God and you love your neighbor. And that's the whole thing. And if you did those two things, you would fulfill the whole thing. He didn't say the whole point is to make a lot of money. Well, that would be a different purpose. But the whole thing can be summed up in relationships. And I got to thinking about what's the fruit that the Holy Spirit tries to bear in people. Well, love, Sounds like a relationship. Joy, relationship to God. Peace, long-suffering, sounds like a relationship. All of these things are relational. And Mom has a very keen sense that relationships are probably the most important thing this side of the resurrection. And they're probably the most important thing after the resurrection as well. And so that's something I will admit to as a man and dad. Sometimes those things elude me. I don't understand all that. There's a couple of guys that I can think of. I hate to use bad examples, but you know, when people repeatedly sabotage relationships and then blame the world for their bad relationships, I've noticed this trend among certain types of people. They sabotage their relationships. They're just not good people, and then it's always everyone else's fault. You know, why they're not my friend, or you know, why I don't want to be their friend, or something like that. And what those type of people haven't understood yet is the relationships are the most important thing. And you need to stop sabotaging the things that are most important in life. You need to quit destroying the things that God's trying to use to create something in you. Things like long-suffering, things like gentleness, kindness. I know we say it probably every Sunday because that is the thing God's trying to create in you. It's very evident what God's trying to do with people. And it has a lot to do with relationships. We read that the proverb, every wise woman builds her home. That's the idea. She builds the house. She builds it up. She establishes, it takes care of the relationships. And I understand dad has a role in all that too, and he does. And maybe some dads get it, and they understand that in better ways than I do, but I know Mom seemed to understand that. They seem to get it. Now, they may not exactly get it the way God gets it, but the point is that they emphasize those things that the Lord is trying to use to build people. And this is what He's trying to produce in people. I think about, the typical one, and I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but you got Proverbs, the typical Proverbs 31 thing, you know, and all the advice from Mom in Proverbs 31, which it is, by the way, advice from Mom. And you go through that list, and the whole thing describes her relationship to her family, what she's doing for her family, how she's building her house. All of those things, that's the whole thing. And we say, well, that's the model. That's the virtuous woman. That's the model. And it's relational. The whole thing is relational. I think about Ruth, who was someone who wanted to take care of her mother-in-law. That relationship was the basis for which she finds grace. She finds a future. All of those things come out of that. That tells me these are the most important things. These things are things you need to take care of. And if you're sabotaging things like that, these relationships, quit doing it. Learn the lesson. This is the thing that God's trying to use to build something in you and to bear fruit in you. Mom seemed to understand that. They prioritize family relationships. You know, Ben was asking me last night about, a Mother's Day sermon, and he asked me about doing something on Hannah. You know, Hannah's kind of the typical one, but I don't want her to be too common. Hannah in the Bible, in 1 Samuel, Hannah, by the way, is Samuel's mother in the Bible, Samuel the prophet, great, one of the greatest prophets in the nation of Israel. And Hannah begs the Lord to have a child. And then when Hannah has a child, which is, this is just incredible. When she finally has a child, she lends Samuel to the Lord. And that separation, I don't know that as maybe men, I don't know that there's a way to explain the pain that's associated with that separation, but that voluntary separation. She says, Lord, you gave me this child. I'm going to lend him to you to be your prophet and your priest. And so he's raised in the tabernacle. He learns the administration of the tabernacle. He becomes a prophet. He becomes the greatest prophet in the nation, maybe ever, for sure up to that point. And he is just such a pivotal person in the nation's history, but he is that because of Mom and because of the sacrifice and her willingness to just, you know, I think about, you know, as dads, we're trying to get kids grown up so we can just move them on, you know, go establish yourself somewhere else. And Mom's, she's got that, no, I want you here, I want you around me, and things like that, and at least in the beginning. And so that relationship for Hannah to voluntarily give Samuel up is just a huge decision. But it's no wonder that God honored it so much because of the sacrifice. So Hannah is somebody that is, I don't know, one of the greatest women in Israel's history. And it's incredible the way she sacrificed her family. I would say moms probably are, they would rather see themselves in pain than see their kids in pain. And I think that can be true of dads too, but I think moms for sure. I read this, it's been a few years, but about mothers and relationships. It says, at six, we say, I love you, Mom. At 10, we say, whatever, Mom. At 16, we say, Mom is so annoying. Probably use other words than that, though. At 18, we say, I want to leave this house. At 25, we start to say, Mom was right. At 30, we say, can I come over, Mom? And then at 50, we say, I don't want to lose my mom. And at 70, we say, I would give anything to have my mom here. Relationship. That's the important thing. And moms get that. You understand prioritizing relationships. And along those lines, third thought here, to be a mother is to carry the weight of your family's pain in a way that dad doesn't. There's other proverbs we could read. I'm going to quote a couple of them to you. But it says, in one proverb, it says, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother, the weight. It doesn't say that about dad. Dad can kind of cut the cord and be done with it. But not mom. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. It says that a couple times. It's not said about dad. But mom, your family's feelings, and again, you know this better than I do, but your family's feelings become your burden in the way that they don't become everybody else's burden. I'm thinking about, we just had this conversation the other day. And I think about, I'm going to use a part of it. But one of the things that's been discussed, and I've not just our family, but talked to other folks, but moms are worried about death because they're worried about what it'll do to their family. Dads are worried about death maybe because of what they didn't accomplish, what they wish they would have done, but they're worried in a different way. Maybe they didn't leave enough for the family or something like that. But moms are worried about how this is going to make the family feel if I'm not around. What's going to happen? What's the dynamic? It's going to change if I'm not here. That's characteristic of the weight of the family's pain, characteristic of the weight of the emotions that you carry. And that's typical of motherhood. You know, we are... We're familiar, I think, with the influence a mom has on her child. But what about the influence a child has on her mom? That's stated multiple times. I mean, it's life, but it's stated in Proverbs that a child's trouble is his mother's trouble, particularly son's trouble. It's described a couple times. And it's described that way in a way that it's not dad's trouble that way. Dad doesn't carry that. And it's complimentary. He should carry it. It just means he doesn't. He provides balance in a different way. I remember, you know, there's a in Luke where it says, remember Lot's wife. And all the destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah that goes on. And one of the things that happens is Lot's wife tries to go back to the city. When all the fire and brimstone's like just pouring down, and however that's all working, but it's just fire from hell. I mean, it reminds me of just a war scene. You know, just missiles and bombs are just like, it's what it reminds me of, fire everywhere. And Lot's wife heads back to the city, because that's where her family is. That's where her sons are. Yeah, Lot's out. The daughters are out. But she's still got family in the city. And so she heads back into the city. And all of that past and all of that regret of why couldn't I have done more? And I got to get my kids. I got to get them out. I got to get them out of here. And with all of that, she goes back into the city, and the Bible says she becomes this pillar of salt, which in my mind, I don't think she just vaporized into this pillar of salt or turns into it. I just imagine just buried in sulfur and fire and brimstone, just buried in it. Because she went back, it's like someone going back into a burning building and the thing just collapses. And so it's just this, there's the phrase and this instruction about remembering Lot's wife. Remember what she did. And the reason you would remember that and the reason you ought to remember that is all of those ties to her family and all of those regrets she had and all of those things that went through her mind to draw her back into this old life. And the old life was going to be completely destroyed. It is destroyed. Remember Lot's wife. A mother would rather die than see her children suffer. Those regrets can destroy people. What should I have done? What could I have done? I don't know. Sometimes those regrets can be overwhelming, and sometimes they affect marriages. Those things that this isn't about that particular thing, but some of those regrets can be very troubling. But the point is, try not to have as many regrets if you can. Try to raise your kids right. Enjoy the fellowship and the time you have with them. Make a priority of the relationships. And then last is this. To be a mother is to be a teacher of good things. To be a teacher of good things. As the famous Meghan Trainor song goes, I am your mother, listen to me. Proverbs says it this way. Solomon had a different way of saying it. He said, remember the law of your mother. Listen to her. In Proverbs 31, it's the prophecy that the mother teaches the son. To be a mother is to be a teacher of good things to your family, to your children. In the New Testament, you've got Timothy, who is a product of mom and grandmom. That's what Paul says. And Timothy becomes this elder and this pastor and this church. He oversees the Ephesus church and sounds like a few others. He kind of bounces around sometimes. But we have a letter to the Ephesians because of his work, because of who Timothy became. And he became that because of what his mom taught. And she became that because of what her mom taught her. To be a mother is to be a teacher of good things. In a room, I'll wrap it up with this, but it was interesting. I heard a statistic that in a room of 120 pastors, they were asked, who was more responsible for your entrance into the ministry, or you're serving God the way you do? Was it your father or your mother? And out of 120 pastors, 100 of them said, it was my mom. And I don't know if you recognize or notice, in congregations, you know who shows up more to church and is around church more? Mom. I understand work schedules and things like that, but there's something to that. There's something to that. To be a mother, lots to do with Christianity. To be a mother is to be a vessel for life, a vessel of life, to take care and to take care of the life that's in you. To be a mother is to prioritize family relationships in a way they need to be prioritized, I think. To be a mother is to bear the burden of of the pain of your family sometimes, or just the emotions, the care of your family, the way that dad doesn't. Not that dad should be a mother, but that's just what it is. And to be a mother is to be a teacher of good things. To be a teacher of good things. There is an unfortunate trend of having kids and then letting everyone else take care of your kids. To be a mother, though, anyone can have kids, but to be a mother is to be a teacher of good things. Be a teacher of good things. With that, happy Mother's Day. And Ben, you got anything? You don't. Okay. There's no Mother's Day song here. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray, and you guys can be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words that you've given us. Thank you for our moms. Thank you for my mom. And I pray that you would help encourage the mothers that are here. Maybe there's some instruction in this. Maybe there's some encouragement. Maybe there's just some help that's needed. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct our families. And on this particular day, we pray for our mothers, that you'd guide and direct them. I pray that the family... Sometimes some of these family issues, I pray that the ones that are being dealt with right now, even as we speak, Lord, I pray that you'd be in the middle of some of these family situations to shed light on what needs to be done and what can be done to bring reconciliation, to bring peace and help. I thank you again for this opportunity and the light you've given us about this relationship of motherhood. Thank you for each soul that's here this morning, and I pray all of our moms would have a good Mother's Day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.